Yes, with Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, my colleague. And we go to Haiti because there's an editorial in the Financial Times in these last hours that points to what looks to be a plan, but it's a plan filled with hope. A glimmer of hope, writes the editorialist, emerged this month when the U.S. and CARICOM secured agreement from Henri, that's the unelected leader of Haiti who was absent the country. He was in Kenya when the jailbreak took place that has put thousands of young men with weapons on the streets of Port-au-Prince. Secured agreement from Henri to cede power to a seven-member transitional council drawn from politics, civil society, and business. The council would appoint an interim government with a mandate to hold elections as soon as practicable. A Kenyan-led security force would provide much-needed support to Haiti's outnumbered, outgunned, and demoralized police. The U.S. pledged $300 million to underwrite the cost. Gregory, I've listened carefully to your presentation of the Caribbean, and it strikes me that this editorial is parochial. It's focused on Port-au-Prince as if that's the problem. You've guided me to understand that there are bad actors present in the Caribbean and in the Americas who prosper because of Haiti's and other countries' anarchy. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we talked about in many of our discussions about the opportunities for, you know, vacant spaces in the geopolitical sphere to be exploited by people wishing to use these vacant areas or these black areas to move their influence in and out. And that includes drugs, people trafficking. It includes the movement of intelligence assets, money laundering, the whole range of things. The thought that this transitional council is going to come into being satisfactorily is still not quite clear, because there have been several elements within Haiti who've rejected the presidential transitional council, which Dr. Ariel Henry was happy to cede power to, which he did on March the 11th when he was in Puerto Rico, unable to return home because the airport had been essentially seized by the gangs. But what we do have, all of the foreign players in the region, that ranges from the Venezuelans themselves to particularly the Cubans and particularly the People's Republic of China. And we just saw the other day that the PRC leader Xi Jinping had meetings with the Dominican Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit in Beijing. And basically, this is not insignificant because Dominica itself has a population of 70,000 and yet has a 200-man People's Republic of China embassy from where they actually do their Caribbean controls from for Beijing. So Beijing is definitely engaged in this Haiti or the Haiti situation. So is Cuba. It's interesting that that Haiti's previous governments, including the present government, does not recognize the People's Republic of China, but instead recognizes the Republic of China, in other words, Taiwan. So the PRC, whilst it's claiming to be engaged within Haiti, is actively looking to create a new situation whereby the new Haiti rejects its relationship with Taiwan and moves its relationship to Beijing. That would be a significant strategic advantage for Beijing and a loss for Taiwan. So that's not to be put aside lightly. But the reality is that there are huge amounts of trafficking going through Haiti into the United States. There are something like 15 flights per day from Haiti up until the end of October, going from Haiti to the Dominican Republic and to Turks and Caicos at $4,000 a seat for people who wanted to flee Haiti. And begs the question, where is this money coming from? Who organized these charter flights? And who organized the people to meet the Haitians who were mixed with other ethnic and other national groups when they arrived in the Dominican Republic and the Turks and Caicos and in Mexico? So where those governments are now struggling to accommodate all the refugees, but buses were being organized at the airport with officials, not Mexican or Dominican or Turks and Caicos officials, to take them further on, particularly from Mexico, where they were basically being bused to the U.S. border. And we know that there are organized groups, not only of Haitians, but of Chinese nationals coming across that border in coherent groups. And the Haitians are also coming in through Canada. So a lot of this is being supported by the People's Republic of China, because definitely most of these poor Haitian refugees are struggling to get out of the country in any way, shape, or form, and they can't afford these vast amounts of money. You're talking about for a family of five, you're talking about $20,000 just to get to say Mexico City. So it's really where China, Venezuela, Iran, and possibly even Russia are fishing in muddied waters.
I want to add the Financial Times observation. They say that this is the only plan. The way they put it is that this is the only way to avoid Somalia on the Caribbean. That's a very gloomy prospect, given the history of Haiti and the region. It's been in and out of trouble like this for at least, well, since 1920. I know that because I've seen the Marine deployment between 1915 and 1934. But what I'm struck by repeatedly when it comes to Haiti is that no one wants to take responsibility. The U.S. wants to put money in, but not show up. They want to hire Kenya to come across the Atlantic to impose what? Order, because the gangs are better armed than the police. And then there's the countryside. So the puzzle here is these are allies. France is not uninvolved in this. They're a French-speaking colony once upon a time. These are allies who wring their hands and wander away from the million people or more who are now, we're told, at risk of famine. It's suggestive that it's politically useful to go on about famine in Gaza, but is not useful to you to go on about the actual famine on the doorstep of the United States.
Well, yes, that's one point. You could also say that they're not addressing the famine in Ethiopia, where you've had a million people die in the last year as well. But if you look at Haiti, it hasn't ever enjoyed a moment's peace since that slave revolt against France from 1791 to 1804, which freed it from French rule and transformed it from Saint-Domingue to Haiti, which was only the second modern republic in the Western Hemisphere. But it's been plagued with incredible law and order problems ever since then, highlighted or punctuated by some calm during the fairly heavy, well, very heavy-handed repression by President François Papadoc Duvalier until he died in 1971. But if you look at the crises which began in 2021 with the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse, and then the 7.2 magnitude earthquake on August the 14th, 2021, which killed thousands, and then Hurricane Grace a couple of days later. Massive amounts of money went in through charities to Haiti, particularly the Clinton Foundation, and yet nobody on the ground seemed to benefit. And I think we see the U.S. saying, well, we'll put in $300 million. Put it into whom? Yes, maybe they'll pay for the Kenyan police. The Kenyan government is very unhappy about this. They'd met, of course, with Prime Minister Henry, and they were keen to do that as part of a UN peacekeeping contingent, but only with some guarantees that they would not go into a situation where they would be outgunned by the gangs. And right now, the Kenyan police went in, they would most definitely be outgunned. And I think the government in Nairobi would be very anxious to pull them out at that point. So I think we see these articles in the the Financial Times and the New York Times, and these are written by people who seem to be out of touch with reality on the ground in these sort of situations. It's sort of making plans in some kind of fairyland. So it's going to have to take a lot more, and it's going to probably have to take another physical intervention by someone, and that would have to be a broader UN peacekeeping force, if you want to do something along those lines, although they're very unsatisfactory. But you need to have the capability of a peacekeeping force to actually suppress the firepower of these gangs in Haiti, because these gangs are being armed and supplied by foreign powers. You look at their weapons, they are very, very modern automatic weapons, up to including, you know, light anti-tank weapons and the like. So basically, this is not going to be an easy solution. The interim presidential council is relatively meaningless and certainly not widely accepted. So something's going to have to be done to improve that situation as well. They have to get credibility. And I see nothing coming forward at this stage to help that.
A detail about Haiti. It's a very poor country. It's been poor for a long time. I understand that. But the gangs are a product of that poverty, of that anarchy. They're a result of the way Haiti's been treated, as if it's a prison colony and has to be tamed now and again by outside forces. It strikes me that's all the Kenyans can offer, is a threat of violence. That's the way we've treated Haiti before, and it doesn't work, Gregory.
Well, the Haitians seem to respond better if there's a repressive government of their own. Better to be repressed by your own people than by foreigners. But we have to say that whilst there's clear frustration among the population, and God knows they've suffered more than most people on earth, so there's definitely going to be the frustration which will sponsor people going into these gangs. What is less understandable is the degree to which they have been armed by state-of-the-art and very, very expensive small arms. So this is not something that these poor people have managed to get by themselves.
I'm glad you picked up on that, because I wondered about that standing around barbecue, the BBC interview that I watched at length. He's very well spoken in French.
Yes.
But around him were these teenage boys in rags, you know, pick up Nike jerseys, stuff like that. But around their shoulder, around their necks were these really very, I don't know, weapons, but they sure looked right out of a box.
Yes, and they are. That means that we are seeing this foreign government involvement. And I think the obvious route in has been through Cuba, but definitely with People's Republic of China support, just looking at the way the weapons have been put in there. And then the encouragement for many of these groups to become extremely barbarous toward their own people. That, you know, understanding a reaction to repression by foreign powers is one thing, but to take out such viciousness on, you know, poor Haitians, right, does imply a degree of desensitizing of these people by their sponsors.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. Royal Family next, the King Charles Report. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.